From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Over an extended Independence Day weekend, President Trump signed the One Big Beautiful Bill Act into law. The legislation has many components, making his 2017 tax cuts permanent, while also aiming to cut federal spending on Medicaid and food assistance benefits, SNAP benefits. The bill passed by narrow margins in both chambers of Congress, with the House voting 218 to 214 on Thursday after an all-night session. We're joined now by Illinois Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthy, who represents the 8th District in Northern Illinois. He's also one of a number of candidates for the United States Senate seat being vacated by Dick Durbin. Like every Democrat, Congressman Krishnamoorthy voted against this legislation. Congressman, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, Brian.
So you have called this the large, lousy law instead of the big, beautiful bill. What makes this legislation so problematic in your view?
Well, I think that essentially the cuts are draconian. Your listeners may be aware, but there are cuts totaling $1 trillion to Medicaid alone, which will end up ultimately leading to 17 million people across the country without health insurance. And in Illinois alone, 700,000 to a million people without access to Medicaid or health insurance. But it's more than that. You know, 200,000 Illinoisans aren't going to have access to food stamps or SNAP benefits. I'm a child of food stamps and public housing, so this is personal to me. And then there are various other cuts, including to clean energy tax credit programs. That's going to end up leaving 20,000 Illinoisans without a job. And all of this is meant to help fund tax cuts for the wealthiest among us. And, you know, essentially it's wrong. I think it's un-American.
Let's dive into some of those specific elements. One of the things that Republicans say is, look, we're putting work requirements in here. If somebody can work for some of these government benefits, they should do so, you know, food assistance or health insurance. What's wrong with that from your view?
They aren't so much work requirements. They are paperwork requirements. And what that means is they're basically putting up bureaucratic hurdles for people that basically have to prove that they're working or looking for work in order to get assistance. The challenge, the big problem here is that 60% of Illinoisans on Medicaid are already working. And so when they put these paperwork requirements in place, essentially they are betting on a lot of these people who are already working to not be able to complete their paperwork and then get dropped off the rolls. And once they get dropped off Medicaid, they're not able to get any health insurance because their employer doesn't offer private health insurance either. And that's why 17 million people across the country are going to go without health insurance.
Speaking of health insurance, some of these cuts to, you know, for Medicaid and things like that, they're not happening right away. This is going to take some time to roll in. I wonder if you can talk about, you know, I've heard some speculation that perhaps this was by design, right? Maybe Democrats take back the Congress, as frequently happens during midterm election years, and, you know, prevent some of these things from going into place. I wonder what you think about how the, you know, how some of these, you know, these cost savings, as Republicans frame them in this legislation, were structured.
Well, I think you bring up a good point, and I think that's one of the reasons why we need to hold people accountable. Meaning we need to make clear where people stood on this particular vote. And then secondly, I'm very hopeful that we Democrats will take back the House and hopefully the Senate, and in the process in 2027, help reverse or, you know, delay these cuts from occurring. But I should just mention one final thing, which is I believe that there's going to be an impact of these cuts very, very soon, especially on rural health providers and rural hospitals. And the reason is that many of these hospitals are already stretched. They don't have the resources they need to operate in a healthy fashion. When they know that these Medicaid cuts are on the horizon and they know that many of their patients are on Medicaid and will be affected negatively, they may decide to basically close or dramatically limit their services in anticipation of these cuts so people could get hurt right now.
let me sort of let's play out that argument a little bit, because I think that there is, you know, some people may have this impression that Medicaid is a anti-poverty program chiefly for the urban poor. But can you talk a little bit more, as you were just doing, and sort of draw on that thread a little more about how that does affect not only individual people in rural areas who may be, you know, using this program, but systemically, like you said, the hospitals where these people go.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, 3.4 million people in Illinois are on Medicaid. Almost 50% of all births are funded through Medicaid, and more than 60% of seniors in nursing homes are basically funded through Medicaid. This affects people throughout Illinois, especially in rural, but also other underserved areas like inner city Chicago, let's say. But the main point is that every single health system in the state, whether they're rural, urban, or suburban, has a large percentage of their population who are on Medicaid, either directly on Medicaid or on the what's called the Medicaid expansion component of Obamacare, okay? And so when these people are not able to be covered any longer, then those health systems, again, in all of these different places, will undergo severe strain to the point where, you know, I was talking to somebody, they have one health clinic or hospital in a town of 500 people. It serves the various communities around them. There's two doctors on staff at that hospital, along with a number of nurses. They fear that these doctors and these nurses may leave before they are told to leave when these hospitals or clinics close because of these Medicaid cuts. And if they do leave, then, you know, all of a sudden that rural area it becomes a medical desert.
Let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are speaking with Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthy. He represents the 8th District, which includes O'Hare Airport, Schaumburg, and Elgin in Northern Illinois. And if you want to join us today, I should say, our number is 800-222-9455. We're only with the congressman for another 8 minutes or so. We will be continuing on the topic of the what Republicans call the One Big Beautiful Bill Act for the next half hour or so. But you can join us at 800-222-9455. Congressman, the president and Republicans argue that this is going to strengthen the economy, right? It's going to reduce waste in government. How do you respond to that?
I don't see how it can strengthen the economy when millions of people are going to lose their health insurance, become sicker and poorer and less able to work, less able to be productive in the workforce, probably more apt to go back to social welfare programs and thereby strain the government even more. I don't know how it helps the government to have $3.3 trillion more in debt because of this large, lousy law. And what that will cause, by the way, is I think it will rattle the bond markets. And the reason why that is important, why people should pay attention to that, is the bond markets help to determine what is the interest that we pay on our federal debt. And the more that those bond markets call for a higher premium or yield, because, you know, there's so much debt that we are issuing, the higher our interest payments are, the more everybody pays in interest rates and the worse off our economy is. So this is just a cascading set of consequences because of this job. One last thing I have to say, the clean energy economy, you know, the Inflation Reduction Act did so much to spark tremendous innovation and domestic manufacturing and the creation of jobs in the United States, including in Illinois. Now that these tax credits are being rolled back, we're going to see, you know, a number of projects throughout Illinois stall or stop, and we're going to see domestic manufacturing come to a halt in many other places as well. And we're going to cede leadership to other countries, namely the People's Republic of China, which already was dominant in many portions of the clean energy industry before. So this has all kinds of really bad impacts.
You know, this is, I mean, how much of this legislation, right, we it's referred to as the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, OBBBA. somebody can make a credit ratings joke out of that if they want. I'm going to leave it to people's imagination. But, you know, how much of this is sort of a backdoor or, another way to frame repealing things like, well, we didn't get the Green New Deal, but, you know, the Inflation Reduction Act had a lot of elements that were in the Green New Deal, and Obamacare, as you mentioned, the Affordable Care Act. Is that, what part of this project was, in your view?
I think so. Yeah, that was part of Project 2025. And it made its way into this large, lousy law. But there's also a number of other crazy provisions in here, which I urge your listeners to kind of take a look at. I'll just point out two, which jumped out at me over the weekend as I was reading this even closer than before. There is an exemption for taxation on silencers. These are the things that assassins and murderers use as attachments to firearms to reduce the likelihood of detection when they shoot somebody. We see a tax break for business meals that are taken north of the 50-degree latitude line and west of the 110th degree longitude line. Namely, this is rural Alaska, and only certain businesses get to take these 100% business meal deductions. This is what people hate about this bill, and in some cases about the tax code when you have stuff like this. These tax breaks for special interests and the wealthiest among us are when they come at the expense of health insurance, food assistance, educational support, housing assistance for the most vulnerable in society. And as I said before, I'm a product of food stamps and public housing. And so it's personal to me that, people like my family, when we were down economically, are not going to have assistance when they need it to get themselves back up and productive in the economy.
Do you have a sense, we've talked about this in the context of Illinois with state officials, Governor Pritzker in his budget address this year said, if you come asking for something, I'll ask you what to cut. So Illinois is facing its own budget pressures. But do you get a sense that states will be able to pick up any of the slack as the federal government pulls back from some of this assistance?
Extremely doubtful. Let's just take Medicaid, for instance. Most states, including Illinois, welcomed the expansion of Medicaid under Obamacare. But the deal at the time was that the federal government would pick up 90% of the cost of that expansion, and Illinois and other individual states would pick up 10%. At the time that they incurred that additional expense to pick up the 10% in Illinois, we adopted what's called a trigger law, which is the same as many other states, which is if the federal government decreases its share of coverage of these individuals, then Illinois would automatically cut back its coverage as well. And, you can just imagine there's no way Illinois could pick up the other 90% of the tab for these people on Medicaid expansion. And I think the same is true in other states.
Last thing I want to ask you about, and it's not actually related to this legislation, but I know you have separate work you've done with regard to using federal troops against U.S. demonstrations, as we saw the president doing in California, or at least calling them up. Talk about this and how long. I couldn't find a story this morning. I know at least as of a week ago, some of these federal troops were still on duty in California. What is happening with that? And is there any prospect for, putting sort of guardrails around federalizing of and use of military forces here in the homeland?
Well, I think that, first of all, everyone should be able to express themselves peacefully through protests. And, if they somehow are not peaceful, then local authorities and law enforcement usually has the means to quell those situations and to make sure they are brought back under control. What the president did here in Los Angeles was essentially, under the guise of the Insurrection Act, deploy U.S. military troops against U.S. citizens in Los Angeles over the objection of the governor and the mayor, in this case, Karen Bass of Los Angeles and Gavin Newsom of the governor. And what my bill along, and this introduced with Salud Carbajal of California and Haley Stevens of Michigan, what it would do is very simple, which is under the Insurrection Act, if troops will be deployed on U.S. soil, it has to be done with the consent or at the request of the chief executive of the jurisdiction where it needs to be done. And the reason is very simple, which is you want those protests, for instance, or any local disturbances to be controlled locally by local law enforcement. And you don't want a situation where the president deploys troops as a provocation.
Sure,
and that's
sure.
how a lot of people saw this. And so that's why it was problematic. And I'm hopeful for our legislation someday.
All right. Congressman Raja Krishnamurti, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to be with us this morning. We appreciate it.
Hey, thank you so much.
Coming up after the break, we will continue talking about this legislation. We want to hear from you at 800-222-9455. What do you think about the One Big Beautiful Bill Act? That's coming up after a short break here on The 21st Show. Please stay with us.